Ephesians chapter 5, we're in lesson 67 and studying the book of Ephesians. And if you will, chapter 5, verse 6 is when we left off the last lesson. And we'll pick up right there where it says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." Listen, guys, salvation and immortality just don't go together. And if you think about it, they oppose each other. And the wrath of God falls on the children of disobedience. And these sinful things are here are what God's going to bring the wrath on. Okay? He's going to pour the wrath on the children of disobedience. Verse 7 says, "Be not therefore partakers with who?"
Them.
Sin and immortality do not go with salvation. God did not save us to continue in the things that we was doing. What, you know what immortality means?
Immortality.
Everlasting. You say what is it?
Everlasting life.
Everlasting life. What do you say it is? I had to look this up because I'm thinking, is this good or bad?
Immortality.
Yeah, immortality. It's any act or practice which contravenes the divine commands or social duties. Injustice, dishonesty, fraud, slander, profoundness, gaming, lewdness, or immortalities. So I'm thinking, they don't go together with salvation. So, yeah, I know.
Well, in my defense, I think the word you're really looking for is immorality.
There you go, there you go. See, these guys love me because...
Hey. I have to look that one up too.
Okay, that's what I did. I had to look it up. But immortality is, yeah, you're right. But immorality is what I'm thinking.
That's right. To be immortal. Yeah. So
should we start this over? No. Yeah, everybody should hear this, right? Yeah, preach is wrong. But anyway, look back at verse 5, guys. Verse 5, because you need to see something in the way of a side. "For this ye know, that no whoremongers, nor unclean persons, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Those people that do not do these things have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ or of God, are lost people in the passages. It's not talking about saved people. Notice in verse 6 it says the children of who? If you stay in the context of it, that's who he's talking about here. He's not talking about the saved person. You know how you were before you were saved. We was acting like that. Now, I know many of you was born with a silver grace spoon in your mouth and never did anything in their life and just brought up. That you know what I'm saying? This is not true. That's, we're all children of disobedience. And verse 7 says, "That ye are not to be partakers with them." So that is us and them. That's talking about saved people and it's talking about lost people. There's a contrast there. Verse 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of who?
Light.
Now the expression, we're going to look at this a little bit today, and it kind of goes along with what we shared a couple weeks ago about inheritance and the crown of glory and what your rewards are. So keep that in frame of mind because many of you was here that week. But the thing is, no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God is one that causes problems with a lot of people. Because now they're saying, okay, how can you do this? You're not going to have inheritance. You're not going to be in the kingdom of God because you backslide. Now, many of us use that term loosely, don't we? Because where do you find in the Bible about backslide? Israel's program. They backslide. God spanked them a little bit and brought them back in line. You know, God treated Israel like children. That was their child, his child. Now, we tend to do our children like that, do we not? You know, like, hey, get in line here. We're going to spank you if you don't. But they're still your children. Be turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and get Galatians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and Galatians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and Galatians chapter 5. These are another passage that describes lost people. Can I share this with you? Paul never writes a lost person. Just keep that in a frame of mind. He talks about lost people, but he never addresses his epistles to lost people. Now, I know you people say, well, he said about Israel being lost, that's his kinsmen. That's a little different. But when he addresses his epistles to the body of Christ, he's talking to the saved people. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 says, know ye not that the who?
Unrighteous
shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So you got that right off the bat. Who's not going to inherit the kingdom of God? Unrighteous people. And who is unrighteous people? Are they saved or lost? Let me hear it. They're lost, aren't they? They are lost and they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God, period. And I think we know that, don't we? They're going to inherit something. They're going to inherit eternal damnation. They're going to get their rewards type thing. But it says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor rivals, nor extorters shall inherit the kingdom of God. Who are those peoples in verses 9 and 10? They are lost people because it says they are who?
Unrighteous.
You're either righteous or unrighteous. Paul talks about in Romans chapter 6, you either yield your members to unrighteousness or you yield your members to righteousness. That's your works. That's to show who you are in Christ. That's not for salvation. That's who, once you're saved, you're going to yield your members. You're going to do either or. Verse 11. And such were what? Some of you. They act like these kinds of people because they got saved. See, they just got saved. Some of you might have turned instantly like a light switch and never went back to doing what you ever did. Some of it is still taking us a long time. You know why? We like the flesh. We like to say, I won't, I won't, I won't. And we don't, you know, we don't really realize who we are. You know, we don't tap into who we are in Christ to say, I don't want no more. You know, this flesh is very powerful, guys. You may not realize it, but it's powerful. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. They are no longer like those people. You with me? We're not supposed to be no longer like those people. And it's hard. How many of you work with unsaved people? All the time. How many walks in grocery stores and rub elbows with, yeah, all the time. And you watch these people. Are you like them? Or you're not like them. When they see us out there and they see you and I out there, do they say, wow, I want to be like Stephanie. I'm picking on Stephanie a little bit. You know, I want to be like her because she's different. There's something about her that's different. That's the way we should be, shouldn't we? In all reality. They're no longer fornicators, idolaters, infamous, abusers, thieves, covetous, drunkards, rollers, and extorters. Why? They got saved. That's why they're not like that. Lost people don't inherit the kingdom of God. Saved people inherit the kingdom of God. Now, turn with me, if you will, to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Now, this is a different kind of passage. And two passages says that lost people do not inherit a kingdom. But some other passages talk about some believers and use that same expression about what causes some people to have real problems. It says, wait a minute, it seems like it's telling a lost person he's not going to inherit the kingdom of God. We know that, we just read it. But it seems like now he's talking about a saved person's not going to inherit something. And rightly so. We're not going to inherit some things if we continue to do the things that we've been doing. And you got to remember, I believe and teach the Bible that once you're saved, you're always saved. Now, there's people out there who don't believe that, and they keep you mixed up. They keep you with altar calls, and every Sunday they're telling you to come up. And every Sunday you're like a sheep to slaughter, and you walk up there, and you know what I mean? And you're like, okay, I don't feel saved. Next week the preacher's done beat you down hard enough. You know what that is, guys? When a religion, but when a preacher stands up here and tells you you're unworthy, you need to get saved week after week after week, you know what that tells me? It's control. He wants to control you. You have no freedom in that. But look, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the... Now, is that the big S or little S? You know who that big S is? You want to walk? Now, how can you walk in the Spirit?
Stand in the Word.
Stand in the Word. There you go. Stand in the Word. The little spirit would be my spirit. Be my man. My man. Walk in my spirit. You don't want to walk in my spirit. Pulled into Home Depot and the guy about, you know, took me out. But I stopped and it had to be Dan. You know, just joking. He was kind enough. I was at a stop sign. He was coming this way. He was kind enough to let me through. I'm like, that's Dan. You know, he told me, he said, if I went like this, I'd have said, I'd chase you down, took your picture, and exposed who you are on the whiteboard here. But anyway, made you feel guilty. But you walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the what? Flesh. For the flesh lusteth after the Spirit, and the Spirit after the flesh. It's going to be a constant battle, guys. He's telling us that. Stop. People said, well, Paul did this. Paul says, the things I want to do, I find myself what? Not doing. But the things I'm doing, I don't want to do. It's a constant battle back and forth. But he says, these are contrary to one another, one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Who is he talking about there? Saved men or lost men? There you go. He's talking to saved men. So there's a conflict between those two natures. It's going to be the rest of your life. You might as well just realize it. It's going to be a battle. So what do you do about it? You get in the Word. You start honing things. You say, okay, I don't have to do that stuff. I trained another guy this week, a million miler. Didn't have to worry about his driving habits. But I did worry about his driver habits. And we were talking about... dipping snuff and chewing back and all that stuff and how hard it is. Well, if you like doing it, it's going to bring death. You know that, don't you? Okay? But you're still saved. So why do you do it? Because the flesh likes it. The flesh likes that stuff. And there's some things you've got to break down. Verse 18 says, But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the what? Law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. He's going to explain to us what these fleshly works are. Even when you're saved, you can identify them. When you was lost, there was no difference. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, was that variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, riotousness, and such like. That's a big list, isn't it? That's 99% of the world, isn't it? All those things are produced by the old sin nature of man. And you can continue to... You may not do them all, but I guarantee you there's some of that stuff in there that you and I can pick out and say, I got a problem with this, or it's got a problem with me, right? And of the which I tell you before, as I told you in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, whom is he talking to in this passage? He's talking to saved people. And he says, don't walk in the flesh, but what? Walk in the Spirit. And then he lists what the flesh, that old sin nature, does. And he says, if that is what you do, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Wait a minute now. We just read over in Corinthians, we know who's not going to inherit the kingdom of God, right? Who's not going to inherit the kingdom of God? Right. Now he's saying to the saved people, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. I'm like, uh-oh, that sounds like I'm going to lose my salvation. But it's not your salvation. It's the fact that that's what the world does. That it means, does it mean that you're, well, let me back up, I just said this, but don't mean that you're going to lose your salvation, which many of us may think that way, and a lot of people will say, see, if you do these things, you're going to lose your salvation. You're not saved. You never was saved. In order for a saved man to quit being saved, was he even saved to begin with? You think about that. If you're saved and you believe that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, it's His salvation as a free gift. And He bestowed on that. He gave it to you. And you trusted that. That's salvation. He delivered you from the eternal damnation, right? He saved you. And what was the first thing that you get saved from? The penalty of what?
Death.
Sin. Hell and death. And if you got saved, then you went to hell anyway. Did you really get saved? You know that to be true. You can't be saved if you're going to end up in hell. So the thing is, it's just not an illusion. It's just the thought that you were saved. You were either saved from hell and you cannot go to hell, or you didn't get saved to start with. You just thought you did. Now, personal testimony. I grew up a Southern Baptist. 8 years old, my dad left us with 6 kids, and the first thing we did, we went to church. You know, churches back then, you know, it was like a home. You went there and, you know, they helped you out and stuff like that. That's where I first learned who Jesus Christ was. They taught me that He died for my sins and buried and rose again. You know, I knew who He was. So many years later, I went with the world. I did everything the world could offer me out there. Then so many years later, I'm still searching. I hear the word of God dispensationally true, that Christ died for me and buried. Yeah, I believe that. But when it came to altar calls and water baptism, it didn't line up with what I was taught when I was a younger kid. So I'm thinking, if you're not water baptized, if you don't come up here and turn your life over to Jesus, then you can't be saved. Well, you get in the Word of God and you start reading the Word of God, it is that scriptural water baptism?
Yeah.
Is it scriptural altar calls? And some say no, but you know, but they use that. But what's scriptural is the fact that Christ died for your sins and He was buried and rose again, and you trust that and that alone, that's scriptural. And I had to make up my mind in 1983. Whether I was saved at 8 years old, I couldn't tell you. Well, I think I am. But I can tell you for sure right now, by what the Word of God says, that once I trusted Christ died for my sins and buried and rose again, He saved me, the Holy Spirit sealed me, and I can't get out of it.
We believe that by faith.
By faith. You know, when we did camps and stuff, we put an ink pen in there. Like this right here, a little. Okay, this is you. This is you. And this is the Holy Spirit. You trust Christ died for your sins. Now get out of that.
Can you see,
the harder you try, the tighter it gets. You can't get out of it. So that's what the Holy Spirit does for you. It seals you. And it's like a, how many canned beans? How many does canning? You put the stuff in, you put it in the jar, you put a seal on, you tighten it up, it seals it. You can't get out of that unless the sealer breaks it. And that's God. And God will not break that seal on you. I need to move on here. But the thing is, you've either saved or you're lost. You thought you were saved or you thought you lost. And when you start thinking about that in your mind, the battlefield's right here, guys. That's where your spirit's at. And if Satan can get in there and cause a wedge and say, you're not really saved, what does that do to your mind? Well, maybe I'm not saved. Because, you know, I said something bad to my wife. I told her, you know, I'm not taking out the trash this week. I'm not making a bed and I'm not doing laundry. That's your job. You know, I'm just using that as a little thing, but no. In order for a saved man to quit being saved, what was he saved from to start with? And he is saying that what the works of the flesh in the believer will keep the believer from inheriting the kingdom of God. And the believer has an inheritance that he can mess out on by walking in the works of the flesh. And what do you think the inheritance is?
Eternal life.
Somebody says internal life. You remember when we did the crowns? There's thrones and principalities. And Christ has an inheritance. And we'll get to that in a second. Turn with me in Colossians chapter 3. The works of the flesh will not gain any inheritance and will not allow the believer to have one. Many of us has kids. And when they was growing up, are they your kids? You ever thought, you're not getting inheritance. You're not getting one dime from me when you get older, the way you're acting. Are they still your kids? They're still your kids. They're still part of you. You're just not going to give them a reward. With me? Later on you do. I'm spending my inheritance. I tell my kids all the time, you're getting your inheritance right now, guys. Just when I die, just put me in the ground, throw some dirt on me, say a few words, and that's it. That's all I want. I told Sherry, wrap me in a shroud down here. Wilmot, you can actually make your own coffin out of wood. You can be wrapped in a shroud. You can't be embalmed. And they'll plump you in a dirt, make you worm dirt, and plant a tree beside you. That's what I'm talking about, because what good is this body anyway? He's going to resurrect me. Not spend tens of thousands of dollars and, you know, put me in a coffin. I know people rent coffins now just for a show. But anyway, let me move on. Colossians chapter 3. Let's talk about the inheritance for a little while. Colossians chapter 3 verse 22 says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men's pleasers, but in a singleness of heart, fearing God. And whosoever ye do it heartily as to who? The Lord, and not unto who? Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." What is the believer's servants going to get if he serves his master faithfully? What is the... No, look at it again. What is the master... I mean, what he will get nothing from the master. You got to read that. He's getting nothing from the master if he serves his master faithfully, but the Lord is going to pay him. Now, this is a servant and you got a master. You serve him not with eye service, but faithfulness, and the Lord's going to give you the reward. Not that guy. That guy's going to work your fingers to the bone, and what do you get? Bony fingers. You know what I'm saying? That's what you're going to get. You're going to work and work and work. He don't care. He's going to work you. But the Lord is going to give you a reward by doing what's right. We're going to work through that eventually through Ephesians chapter 5. But what is the Lord going to give you? He will give him the reward of what? Inheritance. That is the reward that belongs to the inheritance. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. You'll see all the saints have an inheritance. Giving thanks, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. When you go get saved, you got in line with an inheritance. You with me? I think many of us, we have all spiritual blessings where? In heavenly places. You're made to sit where? In heavenly places. Positionally, you're already there. But their inheritance there is something you need to think about. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. We looked at this already many, 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 many lessons ago. Verse 7 says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abound towards us with in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure," this is the Father, "which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So what do you know about the heavens? Who's going to have the heavens? The body of Christ. Who's going to have the earth? The nation of Israel. Yeah, nation of Israel. In him. In whom also we have obtained and what? An inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him, and to who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. In whom? Who are you in today? In Christ, we have an inheritance. What does 2 Timothy chapter 2 looks like? 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is the time of the lesson. Everybody's starting to settle down a little bit. Getting comfortable. Now I want everybody to get up and move to another seat. Now just joking. But look, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now that's just not salvation, but it's salvation with what? What's those last two words? With it, so you got salvation with eternal glory. There's going to be glory eternally out there that you're going to get with that. And verse 11 says, "If it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we also live with him. If we suffer, we should also reign with him." What's he talking about there? I know many of us got different views and stuff, but what is he talking there? He's got to be talking about the reward of the inheritance. In the context, and he's talking about you suffering with him, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. How much persecution have you really suffered? Oh, somebody hung up on me. Oh, somebody closed the door on me. You know, they don't talk to me anymore. That's not suffering, guys. You know, we know missionaries overseas, and you probably have too, that for the name, whether they know the doctrine or not, they're out there in the name of Jesus Christ, and they're really suffering when you get your head cut off. You know, we don't know suffering in this country at all. And he's talking about you suffering with him. And all, he said that the sufferings would be reckoned, rewarded with the reign with him. With positions of rank and authority in heaven and government. That's what Ephesians is talking about. The book of Ephesians is that second book of doctrine. It's not talking about this nasty now. It's talking about a kingdom up there in heavens that you're going to be sitting. Positions. We looked at those before. Thrones and principalities and dominions and mights and majesties. That pyramid of authority is up there in heaven just like it is on this earth. But we know the governments here are corrupt, don't we? But they're still God ordained. He ordained the human government, whether we like it or not. And he says, that's the reign, continuing. If we deny him, he will also deny us. He is not going to put us out of family here, guys. Many of us think that. See, he's going to deny us if we deny him. He's not going to put you. You're in who? He's not going to deny his what? Self. If we believe not, yet he abide faithful, he cannot deny himself. Jesus Christ is not going to deny who he is in God the Father. Nor is he going to deny you. Depart from me, I never knew you. That type of thing. Was they saved or lost? Unsaved. They was never saved, was they? I know sometimes we look at our kids, get out of my face right now. You know, I'm not being ugly. I'm just saying they might have not did something we asked them to. And we're like, okay, just go over there. Leave me with my hammer and my nails. And let me hold that 16-foot 2x4 up myself. But anyway, he saves you on the basis of what he is doing, not what you and I are doing. See, that's a work-based salvation. If you and I could work for salvation, why in the world would you need Jesus Christ? And I know the verse that says, work out your salvation with much fear and trembling. That it has nothing to do with your salvation today. Once you're saved, That's the initial salvation that he saved you. Then as you're saved, you work out your salvation, your deliverance from this present evil world, the things that we're talking about here, the things that you don't want to do, and you work that out. And then the ultimate salvation is when he catches us out of here. It comes after the church. But he saves us on what... But there's a reward belongs to the inheritance, guys. And everybody gets the inheritance. But there is a reward that belongs to that inheritance, and that has to do with suffering now and gaining that position of reigning based on suffering in ages to come. You know what we talked about a couple weeks ago? Getting that doctrine inside of you. And that doctrine that changes you, and you start to work different, you start to act different. That's going to mount in heavens for your rewards, your inheritance there. So if to make a long story short, well, let's don't make a long story short. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, and if so be that we suffer with him, that we might be also glorified together." You write these down in your notes. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. Verses 4, verse 8. Ephesians 6, 6. And 2 Corinthians 4, 17. These passages describe the rewards. And if you want to go back and listen to the crown of rewards that we did a couple weeks ago, then you're more welcome. It's going to hit those things. But the eternal weight of glory that is given as compensation for suffering now. See, you're going to get your inheritance. But if you're acting like those ones that we talked about, they're not going to have an inheritance as a reward. You still have a child of God. You with me on this? I thought sometimes it might be like, yeah, Ed, move on. I know what you're saying. But it seems like we get bogged down in those things. Now, of course, it has to do with the judgment seat of Christ. And you as a believer in Christ trust Jesus as your Savior, and He places you in who? In Christ. Everything we do is in Christ. And if He's the head of the body, and He's doing your thinking, how's Christ thinking today? How are you thinking like Christ today? You read books about the books about the books. You watch movies, right? You have His Word. And His Word is what God talks to today. His Word illuminates off the page and gets in your spirit and down in your soul. And that's how God's communicating today. He's not communicating with every winds of doctrine out there, guys. And I know many of you have done this. I've done it myself. Lord, let that red light turn green before I get there. I know you're with me. And you're braking at the same time. If that was true, you'd be doing 90 miles an hour down Lincoln Way. And you know what I mean? He don't act that way, guys. We was talking about ball players last night. And I don't know if you noticed, if you watched any ball games or not. This weekend, they got different uniforms. And they actually got their nicknames on them. You know, the nicknames and the pitcher last night was named Sunshine. We had hair down here, and we was watching him pitch, and he sits there and he goes, you know, he's like this, and he's 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. And then he pitches. Now, if you know baseball, it's all about timing, right? And when you got to time that pitch that leaves that guy's hand, because you're not going to see a 97-mile fastball, are you, Dan? It's almost, you know, okay, throw it. The guy's laughing at you. You got a time. So me and Sherry was talking about that and about how ball players, a lot of them are what? Superstitious. Yeah. You know, if he don't keep doing that, he's never going to throw it across that bat. But to me, I'm watching that. And if you can time that when he leaves that hand, 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, you're going to start knocking over ball. But gratefully, Indians won again last night, so, you know, while him pitching. But they superstitiously, we do things out of habit and all that. So if Christ is doing your thinking, you got to think like Christ thinks in order to stay who He is. Okay? So how does he talk? Through his words. We get in his word. Did he talk in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Did he talk in Genesis through Revelation? This God is God, and he spoke the words. Now, look at this. The body of Christ is going to gain inheritance, and the inheritance is the eternal government in ages to come. But he then says that the quality of service of your building, we talked about who you are in Christ, taking care of yourself, the building of your workmanship and the capacity of the service that you have here as a member of the body of Christ will determine the capacity of service that you have in ages to come. So you have to get this word inside of you in order for it to work eternally. Okay? And if you suffer with him, you will also what? Reign with him. If you deny him in your service, he will deny you, reign you in heavenly places. He's not going to take you out of the family. He's just not going to put you in those positions. That's the inheritance that we're working for, guys. That's the crown of glory that we're working for. You with me? That's why you need to study to show thyself approved. That's why you need to say, okay, I'm taking this doctrine. I may not understand it, but I'm going to take it and believe it. And as you believe it, it starts to work differently in you. Believe me, it's working a difference in me. I may stop it sometime. You know, I may get aggravated with life. I may get frustrated with people. But it's still, I've got to let that work in me, don't you? This week I've stopped at a customer and you ever try to make small talk? How many's good at making small talk with people? Yeah, you know, you can walk up to somebody, yeah, Howard is, yeah. You walk up to people and you just say, hey, you know, boy, that grass is awful green today. You know what I did? I watered that grass. And they'll start talking to you. Well, I was over in Ottawa and, you know, we just unloaded 2 pallets. And the guy's looking at stuff. I said, "Boy, it's about lunchtime." I was hungry. The guy I was with did not stop. I said, "Listen, you got to stop. I've got to eat at least twice before 12 o'clock, or you're not gonna like me." You know. Meanwhile, I've got my fruits and my proteins, and you know, I'm not hungry, but I've got a ritual. I have to eat every morning and stuff, or I just go to this pot. But I'm looking at him. I said, "It's about lunchtime." Well, maybe it is, or maybe it isn't. And he just, I'm like, he don't no small talk with him. So I just backed up, and got in my truck. You meet people like that, but I could sit there and continue to hound them a little bit. Why don't you ever eat? You rather eat this feed and seed than a good old hamburger or something, you know? But you don't do that. You just back off and all that stuff. But when you deny him in your service. Each one of us is a position in him in his service. You're elect of God, not that you're special. Look at me. You're elect of God to do service. And that's what election means. And everybody wants to say Israel saved and Israel lost. No, it's about service. It's about elect. When we elect officials, what are they supposed to be doing, guys? Not themselves. And Lord knows we know a lot of people serving themselves. But you as elect of God are serving God to make meet in the heavenly places. Now I have a question. If you are saved by grace, how can you square the idea of some people getting a reward and some people not getting a reward in ages to come? How can you justify, or how can you rationale that in ages to come some of us is getting certain rewards and some of us not?
Well, because of what they did on earth here in this life for Christ, the more you do, the more rewards you would have.
But what do you got to do?
Yield to the Spirit, not to the flesh.
Okay.
It's performance-based rewards.
It seems like it, don't it?
Yeah.
You know, what more that I want to do. How many would be satisfied just, and I use this analogy a lot, would you rather be a mayor in one of the townships in heavenlies, and they're up there. God's not going to change that. Or would you rather shovel manure? You ever shovel manure? I have. I've had it up to my kneecaps. We used to grab the cow's tails and go through it like skiing, you know, when I was young. We did all kinds of stuff. But didn't you get used to it? You could spray off. But anyway, that was fun and back in the day. We didn't have Nintendo, you know, right? But anyway, but I'm saying, I know what shoveling manure is. It's not an easy job. It stinketh.
It's heavy.
And it's heavy. But look, you can understand you're saved by grace through the finished work of Christ. And I get an inheritance age has come based on grace. Grace is a free and unconditional, right? There's nothing you and I can earn grace. He gives it to you. Isn't that wonderful? Mm-hmm. Isn't that wonderful when you give somebody a gift, you turn around and say, now you can't go to Best Buy. And you better not go over here and buy clothes with it. It's for gas. Now is that a free gift? Is that grace? That's a condition, isn't it? Grace is unconditional. Then how in the world does he come along with the patches and say, but there is a reward out there for some people and a recompense to give on basis of what they do? Just what you mentioned, isn't that a performance, performing to get a blessing? It sort of seems like it, don't it? I've got to work, work, work. Christian life on earth was to live on the basis of grace, just like salvation. Romans chapter 4, verse 4. Go to Romans chapter 4. How do you justify that? How do you, because these are some questions. Romans 4:4. We'll be closing just shortly, guys. Romans 4:4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of what? Death. If that reward inheritance is based on works that you do, it is reckoned of grace. No? Okay. There's two extremes that comes out of this right quick. Because some people cannot see how the issue of reward with grace, and they think salvation by grace, but your walk is by the law. So it's either by grace, you do everything by grace, or you're going to walk under law and do it under law. And have to perform and work now. You get saved by grace, but now you put under a performance system so you can gain the rewards and not lose it. It sure does sound like it, don't it? You know, but let me ask you this. And this may add, once you are saved, don't you want to work? Don't you want to do what's right for the Lord? Don't you want to do this? Knowing that who Christ is and what He's inside of you. Not that I'm going to do it to gain something. You already have something.
Gratitude.
You know, that's a good answer. You get saved by grace. And when you've been studying clearly that a Christian walk is not by the law, but continues grace, you have to think of 2 Timothy. You have to think of Romans 8. You've got to think of Ephesians chapter 6. You've got to think of 2 Timothy. And what those verses are talking about is what you're getting in ages to come. See, you're not getting stuff right now. You want it ages to come. Now, how many of us, without exposing your bank account information and all that, how many of us has worked for retirement when you was younger? You know, you was taught to save something, didn't you? What was that retirement for? Was it for now, right now when you need it, or was it when you got old enough that I'm going to relax, I'm going to buy a camper, I'm going to go vacation homes? That's the thought, isn't it? Ages to come. That's what you're building for here. So your inheritance and your reward is not that you're going to get it right now. It's going to get when it's ages to come. And concerning how the reward can be given to you on the basis of grace and not works, the answer is in, let's look at this real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Galatians chapter 2, and Philippians chapter 2. And we'll close after these passages. I know some of you like, I like to give Ed a reward right now. Tell him, be quiet, I want to go home. Just joking. I don't get to see you guys but once a week, if then. So I just treasure the opportunity just to see you. But Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Who produces the works in you? Do I, or does who?
Christ.
That's Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 we're at. And if there is anything I do on this earth that God is going to approve of, who produces it? What's that? God. Christ produces it, and it's not me. His faithfulness is what produces anything of value in me right now. So you think about that. Anything that you're doing, you're supposed to do it for the who? The glory of who?
God.
Now, I have to admit, I do things to the glory of Ed. That's, you know, that's what I said to want. You know, the things I want, I don't want to do it, but I want them. You know, I sat down. How many watched the fight last night? How many know people did watch the fight last night? Paid $99 to watch a fight. That's $10 a round. Okay? You don't know how much Erica says, Dad, everybody's doing this. And our sons and daughters out watch. And Dad, everybody in the world is watching this. I'm watching this. I'm like, so? But guess what that did? That started putting my head like, maybe I'm going to see if Sling TV's got that going on. Maybe I'll see you. Started searching the internet how you watch this fight. They're not going to let you watch it for free. You know, not at all. So, but anyway, she's like, Sherry said, why don't you just go ahead? I said, $99? And then she goes, no, I don't think so. But that's a want. But that's what I wanted. But that's not what Christ wanted. Christ wants to say, hey, enjoy your family while you're here. Eat another bowl of ice cream. You know, that type of thing. But look, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. You expect him to say, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. But he says, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Those two verses, he says, one, I labor, but it isn't me. It is the grace of God laboring. And the other verse, I live because it isn't me. It is the life of Christ in me producing the works. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. It's still all under the umbrella of who? God and His Son. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. When you have a desire to do God, the will of God, who produces that? The answer is who? God produces it. When you do the will of God, who does the will of God? God does. Nothing originates in or proceeds from your old man or your human viewpoint or your energy will be of any value at all when you stand before God in judgment seat. It ain't going to mean a hill of beans, guys. We talked about gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. And I broke them down a couple weeks ago, that wood, hay, and stubble, that wood is idols. Habakkuk chapter 2. Hay is a hedge. Put a hedge around you. Stubble is rottenness. It turns to nothing. Those things are burned. But that gold, silver, and precious stones, it's wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And that's what you want to produce in you now. So you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil and be able to have rewards in ages to come. And the only thing that will be value is what God, by His grace, performed through you when you present yourself as a living sacrifice. He will, and He work, and He produces. His grace produces. And then what is the basis of your reward? Is what you get, what you've done with it. Father, once again, thank you for the day. Thank you for things given us freely in your Son, Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.